Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazza.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Students are returning to the two Cambridge universities. Coronavirus outbreaks on some campuses and in towns around the country have forced many into isolation already. So how ready are we here? Lewis Herbert is the leader of Cambridge City Council and is here to talk about that and some other COVID-related issues as well. Morning to you, Lewis.
Good morning. Oh, no. Mute.
Who's on mute? No, I think we're all here. Can you hear me, Lewis?
I can. There we go. We can indeed.
That's good.
Wonderful.
Always a good start to an interview. So I'm just wondering, Lewis, with the number of students who are obviously coming to the city at any time of year, really, but obviously particularly concerned now, should we expect a Cambridge spike?
Well, we've been working really hard since June. And the requirement on both Anglia Ruskin and the wider university, the other one, has been that they have to produce detailed plans, both isolation of students coming from overseas, wider measures in the first 2 weeks, testing. So there's significant testing. The University of Cambridge has got weekly testing. We knew there was this risk back in June. And we've just been making sure that we can minimise it. At the heart of it, and I think this was the position, say, if you take Manchester Metropolitan University or a couple of others, I don't think there was enough communication and enough guidance. You don't get an outbreak of the scale they had without stupid behaviour. I'm not saying people won't misbehave, but overall, the rule of six and the avoidance of major private environment, rooms, gatherings indoors, particularly when, despite the semi-cold, people can gather outside and have perfectly good time. It is vital that those arriving in Cambridge follow the rules.
And if something were to go wrong, is Cambridge ready for a local lockdown? Have you got, I don't know if you have sort of A4 files sitting on the shelves at the Guildhall anymore, but probably some sort of electronic equivalent that everybody can access. Is that information there to simply look up the appropriate section and get the lockdown underway?
So, yeah, You're in Eastern Cambridge, and around you is a lot of private rental accommodation that Anglia Ruskin students are in. The colleges have a little bit more luxury. They can more readily lock down. So I think what we're expecting, if there is a minor outbreak, is cases, test and trace, small-scale lockdowns. We are looking with some concern about the rise in cases in other parts of the country. So we're hearing figures of 70, 80, 120 per 100,000. The current estimate in Cambridge is between 10 and 20. Hmm. And so we're just in a much safer starting zone.
And are you happy with those numbers? Because I know there was some concern that somebody was suggesting that one of the reasons why the numbers locally are lower than other parts of the country is because the testing isn't quite working as well as it should, and the people just aren't getting the tests.
Well, there are all sorts of failings in the system, but I'm confident that the numbers really are lower in our area. There is still testing. There are parts of Cambridge that have a lot of testing. The fact that the university can lay on weekly tests is a luxury compared to some parts of the country. And the way that they're going to do that, clustering students into groups of eight, working out who and why the contact has led to something. So I think we're a health and safety conscious city. We've got the work on the vaccine coming here. People know people who know a lot about this issue. And frankly, it is a deadly disease. So before we get on to other issues, we really have to just keep on top of this. And where we don't think the government has got it right, we don't take those shortcuts. And we've got an excellent public health team at the county council. And we make sure that we don't get a repeat of some of the other problems, like the emptying of hospitals into care homes without control. So I think there were some fundamental blunders earlier in the year, but this time round, particularly because we've still got low numbers of people entering Papworth and Addenbrookes, albeit that is a real concern if that starts to grow. We want to keep people safe, and we're determined to ensure that the universities, and assisted by the unions, assisted by the student organisations, get the message home.
And Lewis, you mentioned the University of Cambridge, they have their own test and trace system set up for their students, but ARU, are they relying on the NHS test and trace system?
No, they've got additional testing capacity.
Okay.
Well.
And are both universities fully expecting, you know, the same numbers of international students that they usually receive?
Less in the first years, Lucy, okay. But the returning students who generally had to arrive 2 weeks before, providing they follow the rules, needed to be in self-isolation for those 2 weeks, is a better protection than we've ever had at the UK border. So, I mean, it's quite astonishing what happened in February and March. I mean, we really did blunder. And if you look at other countries, they have geographically isolated this disease to certain parts of their country.
Yeah.
We just let it spread. Mm-hmm. The government was mixed up about what its philosophy, what its approach was. But I think other than some issues arising out of the summer, we are in a strong position as a country. We've got to keep this going. And also, we do need the jobs. We need children in school. We do need to. We're coming out of furlough. As of today, the payments reduce. We have to keep the economy moving. People need that employment.
And what's happening, Lewis, with the businesses within the city? For the information that you have, are offices opening up? And I know Lucy is going in to her office today, but I think it's only as a day trip, effectively. Mm-hmm. Other places, are they beginning to open? Because that has the trickle-down effect, of course, to the small sandwich shop that maybe gets some custom from the office workers and the national businesses as well who inhabit our city centre.
Well, it's tough for the sandwich shop. We had a good kickback and growth within people in the city centre spending money, day trippers, up until the end of the weather. So we had a really strong recovery, but I think we've got a challenge. So the sandwich shop will struggle. A lot of people are back in the workplace, firms, the high tech, the life sciences, they can't really function without people going in. And they've got essential work like lab work and development work where you can't take some of that kit home. So I think we've got some real strengths in the economy, which is really important. We've always had low unemployment, but I'm seriously concerned that we'll have several hundred people losing their jobs this week. And then when it changes to the much softer job support scheme from the end of October, I think there will be a big thump.
And you think, do you think that's going to come? What kind of sectors? Is that going to be within some of the Cambridge startups, or is that more likely to be within the retail sector?
Well, no, I think any small businesses, they've either retrenched or they've changed how they do their work. Or I'm afraid they've already told their people. In a smaller environment, people are generally treated better. Not always, but generally. I think it's the larger retailers, it's larger national companies. I mean, it was really sad to see Booking.com shut their operation on Milton Road, 400 jobs there. So there could be some of those, but I don't imagine there will be big, sudden closures. There will be some regional offices closing. There will be, particularly in retail. So retail has gone online even more, and we've got a good food offer. We've got a great offer and range of people in the city. But without the office workers, without the visitors from abroad, with students hopefully just not going out as much, particularly this month, then there's just less money being spent.
Yeah.
So the rise in savings things back in March to May, albeit that that was the people that had money, was the biggest ever rise in savings since, I don't know, ever.
Wow.
So I'm glad to see people went out and spent some money in the summer. And I hope everybody's planning a good Christmas.
Other than Lucy's saving, we're not having Christmas pudding. I think we'll do our do our best to help there. There's one thing. The time we have left. There's one thing I did want to mention, and that's the situation regarding rough sleepers, who initially, of course, were housed by the city council and others, but there has. Just visually walking around Cambridge, we are seeing again some rough sleepers on the streets once more. What is happening to try and direct them into some kind of accommodation, be that short-term or even long-term solutions?
The offer is there for every rough sleeper to have a bed or a place to sleep and live off the street. It's a free country. Some choose not to. And it's a lifestyle for some, but the core of it is good news. We've been trying to get a partnership with government for 25 years. So we've already got, as you will have picked up, we've got Alia, we've got partnerships, we've got Jimmy's, we've got a lovely thing with Hill Partnership where they're putting 20 new units onto different sites around the city, pods. We've got £1 million out of government already, which is astonishing because they still haven't paid us all sorts of other money they promised. And we've got a bid in for £2 million. And basically, if anybody's listening and they're a private rental landlord, the council will pay rents and we'll make sure that it's a frictionless and well-managed situation. Rough sleepers need the support work. They need other things. So we're not out of this crisis and epidemic, but I'm committed. We are committed to a long-term legacy of a very different pattern for rough sleepers in the city, in addition to the provision that was already there.
And that sounds very much like a real change.
We are determined to fund over the next 5 years.
Yeah,
it is a real change. The government rushed because they were worried that more about the wider community that rough sleepers would be a transition for the disease. We are worried about their welfare and there being a long-term plan. I think I'm just happy about it. Mm-hmm. I think we're able to do something that we haven't done before, and we ourselves have put in more money. So even though we're 10 million light because of the virus, which is a lot of money for us, mm-hmm. we are determined to assist rough sleepers off the streets and give them real support, the potential of work, and the wider support. And we're in for an award tomorrow, potentially, but we might not get it. Street Aid, which is a great project of raising money and grants for rough sleepers, is in for it's in with a lot of other people in competitions for an award nationally. And I think I'm proud of the donations and the support that all our residents have given.
Oh, let us know about that.
Is that the one where we can sort of, if we're wandering past the council offices on Mandela Street Week, or Mandela House rather, we can put our contactless card up against it to make a little quick donation?
I did it at the weekend. £3. The co-op's really good. Almost every branch of the co-op around the city's got a £3 gift. So put in £3, it's not a lot.
Yeah, no, that's very good. I've seen the one on the co-op in the mill on the Mill Road. I've managed to see and use that. So that's really good news, Lewis. Mm. And a good news story to end with all round. It kind of makes a change. Thank you very much, as always, for joining us this morning.
Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
You had a great birthday. Well done, Julie.
Thank you very much, Lewis. Lewis Herbert, City Council leader. And that takes us to 8:47.